Okay, so what I want to do today is deal with, in 1 or 2 days, my guess is two. I'll say two, because if I say one, I'll definitely be wrong. The positions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So, we spent last week and a little bit before that dealing with Chezkat Gimel Shanim and the different paradigms. Is it about evidence? Is it about creating muchzakut, creating a legal hold in the land, either with certitude or at least enough to turn the tide in his favor? Is it a takana derabanan? Then Rabbeinu Yonah's sort of hybrid position, which is that it's the takana was to accept three, but once you have three, so now because of game theory, essentially, that creates de facto evidence that if you anticipate that the other person will not have to provide evidence and you don't care to counter that, so then ... right? All that stuff. I was glad that after mentioning game theory and Professor Alman, so then Avinair mentioned it in his shiur on Thursday. He's the only, Professor Alman is like a hero in the country because he's the only Israeli winner of the Nobel Prize in economics. We've had other Nobel Prize winners. He's the only one in economics. And he's from, which makes it even, makes from people even prouder, right? He has a nice long beard, right? Not that that's a standard, but As I stroke my long, long beard rather than my 5 o'clock shadow, Fine. What, Rami? Okay. Fine. But what we need to do is now weigh these positions against the alternative in the Gemara and try to figure out, well, what exactly is the thing that we call a chazaka? Because, yes, until now we've dealt with the positions that it is actually 3 years of living there, but it's not clear what constitutes this chazaka, and part of the question is whether it's actually 3 years or not, and therefore we have to figure out what exactly is going on. So let's just remind ourselves where we are. So the Chachamim, the Tanakama, who'd been dealing with, thinks that Chazaka is created by 3 years of living on property, squatting on property. But the Mishnah already introduces two other positions, and they are Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Shmuel say? What is a Chazaka? What? 18 months. 3, 12, 3. Rabbi Akiva, 1, 12, 1, 14 months. That's not true. The Tanakhama does.
Oh,
that's
the Tanakhama?
The Tanakhama seems to think that it's 3 years. That was why we spent a week on that position. That's the main position in the Gemara. That is 3 years is 3 years is 3 years. Right? Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva introduced the new positions that it is less than that. And that's what we need to, and now even within that, Rabbi Shmuel then says, Bamed Varam Amurim, when do we say that you need even 18 months? When it's a Stei Lavan, right? If it's a, vegetables, but fruit, an orchard, Rabbi Shmuel says you only need 3 harvests. However long that takes. Okay? Good. So, before we look at the Gemara and Lamed Vav, tell me, methodologically, what is the major question we have to ask about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and the Chachamim in terms of their machloket about the length of Chazaka? What is the first thing you need to do before we get into any details? What's the first thing we got to do? What, Ezra? Okay, I'll put it a little bit differently, but Ezra's right. Meaning, what we need to first figure out is, how much are they arguing? Meaning, are they arguing quantitatively? Meaning, they both think it's about time. And, right, one thinks it's 3 years, one thinks it's 18 months, one thinks it's 14 months, and that's it. But they really think the same thing, just in different, right? They just think it takes less time. And they think that because they agree on the paradigm of chazaka, whatever that is, right? They think it's evidence, but one thinks evidence is accumulated after 3 years, one thinks after half that time, whatever, right? Or both think it's muhtakut. Both think that it's expressing your ownership of the land. The question is, how do you do that? Does it need 3 years or less, right? Whatever. That's one sort of route you could take, is to basically say, look, everyone's functioning in the same world. They all understand chazaka more or less the same. I mean, quantitatively it's different. Practically it's different. Conceptually, they're arguing, they're quibbling about, right, you know, the standards for chazaka, whatever it is. Or do you think, no. Maybe they have a fundamental machloket about what chazaka is, and that's why they argue. And what might indicate that is what Ezra picked up on, is that while at the beginning, the first half of the Mishnah, I mean, the first half of the scripture of Yishmael or Bekiva, it sounds like they mean they're arguing about time. Do you need 3 years, 36 months, or 18 months? Once the Gemara starts saying that Rabbi Yishmael himself doesn't really mean 18 months, he means a certain number of significant acts. So then you have the Tanakhama who thinks that it's about 3 years, it's about time, and Rabbi Shmuel thinks about acts, which forces us to say, well, maybe they're not just arguing about, like, the parameters of chazaka, but they're arguing about what is this thing called chazaka, because one's talking about time, right? One says time provides whatever a chazaka is, and the other says actions provide whatever a chazaka is. That type of divergence indicates more of a fundamental conceptual split, right, rather than a similar conceptual model where you're tweaking, right? So I think that's really what we need to do, is we need to ask the big question, which is, do they conceptualize chazaka in similar ways? They just have practical, different ways of manifesting it. Or is it more than that? Does the fact that one of them seems to be focused on time and one on action, does that indicate that we really need to conceptualize chazaka differently for Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva versus the Chachamim? Okay, so let's ask the questions. Why do you need... the passage of time according to the Tanakhama, right? Let's go back to the Tanakhama. Why do you need 3 years? Let's organize it. So why do you think? Remind me. Someone tell me, right? Why did we say, what models did we have last week? Why do you need 3 years according to the Tanakhama? Yeah. What does that mean? I need you to be more careful here. 1 second, Rami. Ken. Oh.
Thomas.
Ma?
Thomas.
Thomas? Yeah. I didn't even talk. Do you know who Thomas is?
Yes.
Oh, Yotam?
Yes.
It's Yotam? Ulemala sham ba kita sham. Efshar ledvok al adelet. Ulai mishu yishma. או אפשר לתת את זה לנו, אנחנו ניתן את זה לו. אפשר להביא את זה פה, אנחנו ניתן את זה לו. כן, אפשר. אם הם לא יענו בדלת, אז אפשר להביא את זה פה. יש כיתה קצת בפנים שם. ממש מצד ימין מהדלת. Someone wanted to run up and grab this from him? Put on your mask and just grab. It's mail for him. Wait, did he get it? Hey, Manu? Okay, it's me. Efshar lavi et zepo. Okay, efshar is okay, again. Toda. You want to just grab it, Gavi? It's just a piece of paper he dropped over here. Yom Dov. I thought he was looking for a first name of someone that I knew.
Yo Thomas, the legal name is Thomas.
Oh, Thomas. That's what he was saying?
Yeah.
Is that what it says on it? Just tell Adam it's fine.
Yeah, Thomas
Barron. Oh, I did not know that. Okay, just tell Adam it's fine. Or did he go upstairs that way? He went upstairs that way? Ugh. Okay, sorry. Got it? Okay, sorry about that, Adam. He dropped it down. We got it. It's fine. We'll give it to him later. It's fine. Okay, so so I think we need to, right, there were really three ways of understanding the role of the passage of time based on what we said last week, okay? So someone help me. Why do you need 3 years? Adam, why do you need 3 years? Don't tell me the room. Conceptually, what did 3 years do?
That's when psychologically,
I think it was okay, so one was that 3 years actually create status. I'll let you go in a second, right? One was that it actually creates status, right? That you need 3 years to actually create the status, like Sharamud, right? That it actually changes the status. It gives you ownership in the field, right? That was one model. What was the other model? Don't just tell me evidence. I'm not asking you what a chazaka is. I'm asking you what 3 years does. So one, Rami says, is evidence. Meaning what? Yes, right. One is that it's evidence because no one would let you chill for 3 years, right? But there's another model, right? 1 second. There's another model, and that is, be careful, there's a third model. There's a third thing that emerged from our discussion last week, and that is, what else might 3 years do? Yeah, so what does that mean? The self-fulfilling prophecy of Yavar Ben Yonia, and what? Yeah. Rabbi Yonah says that it comes from the fact that since people don't normally hold on to their shtar for 3 years, so therefore you don't have to hold on to 3 years, and that's what creates the evidence, right? But the point is that according to that model, let's take Rabbi Yonah's model, why do you have to wait 3 years? No. That's so. To give people a chance to have an excuse when they lose their shtar. Right? Meaning, by the end of last week, we had several models, but now we have to ask more carefully, but what did 3 years do? Right? One sheet, as Adam says correctly, is that 3 years actually bequeathed to you certain powers in the land. Right? Second possibility is that 3 years the amount of time that it takes to get people angry and therefore elicit a response that would prove that if they're silent, it's actually yours. The third, which is related to that, is, no, 3 years is how long it takes for us to let you lose your shtar, right? Which, according to Rabbi Yonah, is what creates the proof, right? That's not what I'm asking right now. I'm asking is, what did 3 years do? And according to Rabbi Yonah, after 3 years, you're not expected to hold the shtar. Because you're not expected to hold the shtar, that's what creates the proof. But the reason you have to wait 3 years is because that's how long it takes. For what? That's how long it takes for us to be okay with you having lost the shtar. That sets in motion the evidence, right? But the role of 3 years doesn't create the evidence directly, right? The 3 years gets you to the point where Rami no longer has to hold on to his shtar. And that in turn creates the evidence, right? But if I'm asking you just what does 3 years do, there's three possibilities. Either it gives you power in the land, like from the Shormuad model, or directly 3 years passing of silence is the proof that the field is yours, or 3 years passing simply gives Rami an excuse to not hold on to his shtar anymore. That may set in motion evidence, but the 3 years is necessary so that Rami has an excuse to not have his shtar. That's what 3 years does. I'm not asking what Chazaka does. I'm asking what 3 years does. You understand the difference? This is a very very sharp, right? This is a very, very nitpicky difference, but it's very important for what we're about to do, right? Is it clear? Right? First question is, what is a chazaka? Right? And there we have three models. Chazaka is the creation of a status of ownership. Chazaka is evidence, right? Or chazaka is just a takana. That's not the question I'm asking now. Now I'm asking, why 3 years? Within the paradigm that chazaka is the creation of status, the chachamim think a creation of status takes 3 years, right? Creation of muhzakut, of a hold in the land. Within evidence, though, we had different models, because some people thought that really 3 years is the amount of time it takes for us to have evidence that it's yours, meaning what? That if Andrew doesn't challenge Rami over 3 years, that itself shows that Andrew really doesn't own anymore and is really Rami's. In that conceptualization, the reason you need 3 years is because without 3 years of provocation, the silence isn't evidence that it's no longer Andrew's, that it's Rami's. Yes? Yes? But we said there's another model within the evidence, and that is, no. Raviona, for example, says, no, you need 3 years to pass, not to directly create the evidence. You need 3 years to pass that Rami has an excuse not to have a shtar anymore. Which for Rabbeinu Yonah, that's what creates the evidence. Right? Meaning the fact that Andrew never challenged Rami when he was supposed to have a shtar is what creates the evidence. But if I'm asking you not what is the chazakah, but why do you need to wait 3 years, it's not because you need 3 years to provoke Andrew. It's because you need 3 years for Rami to not hold on to a shtar. That in turn makes us ask Andrew, why didn't you ask him when you had the upper hand? But the passage of time isn't directly proving that Andrew no longer owns the land. All it's directly doing is giving Rami the excuse to not hold on to a shtar. The fact that Andrew didn't anticipate that excuse is what creates the proof. But the 3 years were supposed to give Rami time to not have his shtar anymore. That's all. Why is this important here? Right? Why is it important to draw this very nitpicky difference? In the end of the day, isn't that both evidence? Right? And then there's the so that it's takana. Fine. Okay. But why does this matter? Ezra, why does it matter? You said to me before, but why does it matter? And just, what? 1 second. Why does it matter which of these I say? What? I mean, why does it matter why you need three? I mean, why for our discussion is it very important to be very, very precise about this? Very good, because we're about to deal with people who don't need that much, who need 18 or 14. So, if you think it's about muhzakut, about creating a status, so maybe you could say, look, maybe some people think it needs 3 years, some people think it can be done in less. If it's about creating evidence, right? Okay, maybe you think evidence is created after 3 years. Maybe you think that people would challenge you within 18 months. But what about the third factor? How long do people hold on to their shtar? Well, if people hold on to their shtar for 3 years, then does Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Akiva agree that people hold on to their shtar for 3 years? If that's the case, then they must think that chazaka has nothing to do with how long people hold on to their shtar. Right? Meaning if they agree that people hold onto their shtar for 3 years, and yet they say chazaka could be created in 18 months, then clearly they think that that whole model in which 3 years is necessary for the passage of time for the shtar, they think that's irrelevant to chazaka. Right? They think it's irrelevant. They either care about muhzakut, or they care about direct evidence, but not the evidence because someone probably lost their shtar. Because if they agree that people hold on to their shtar for 3 years, and yet they hold chazaka as 18 months or 14 months, they clearly hold the shtar thing is irrelevant to the creation of chazaka. Right? So it's important to figure out what exactly the role of 3 years is before you ask, well, what if someone disagrees with 3 years? Right? Because there's nothing inherent, now let's sharpen it one more level, okay? There's nothing inherent in what Adam said that requires 3 years. Right? Adam just says the point of chazaka is to create a claim in the land. Right? You create a hold in the land. You could think that's 3 years. You could think it's one day. Right? You could see people arguing about how you create that status. If you think it's about evidence, at what point are people silent? Is it evidence that they've sold the field? Again, we could argue. A year, 2 years, 3 years. But it seems to be in the Gemara that nobody disagrees that the average person holds onto their star for 3 years. If nevertheless Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva say that Chazaka is unless, they totally don't think the star thing is relevant to the discussion. Not directly, not indirectly, not as a takana like Dixos, not to set in motion the game theory thing of Rabbi Yonah, right? Nothing. Because they think that you can create a Chazaka while people are still expected to hold onto their star. Right, which will force us to imagine a different model, right? So it's important not just that we ask what chazaka is now, but we ask what did 3 years accomplish? Because once you know what 3 years accomplished, then you can ask, well, how could you justify less? Okay, get your water and then come back. Okay? Right, or I should also note, remember we suggested another hybrid model, the Ramban, right, that maybe the chazaka is created immediately, but you aren't allowed to keep the land without better proof until you also aren't expected to have the shahr anymore, right? So it could be that they would argue on that second half, right? Meaning if you think the chazaka is created immediately, but we also demand that you get out of the period in which you should have the star, maybe they just disagree with that, right? Meaning the 3 years is passive and they just ignore it. Now, okay, with that in mind, okay, so, theoretically we could have said that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva really do care about the shtar, right? They just think that people hold on to their shtar only for 14 months or 18 months. Tell me why that's wrong. So one is they never explicitly disagree. Give me another reason why it's obviously wrong. Ellie, why is it obviously wrong to say that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel think that the shtar is important, but they just think that people lose their shtar after 18 months? How do I know that that's definitely not what they think? Very good. Because Rabbi Shmuel says, I only need 18 months unless you do 3 harvests. Right? The second you say it's either time or actions, doesn't matter. The fact that he says 18 months isn't always true, that means for him it's not about time at all. It's not about time. It's not about time. Because he said it's about actions. Right? Meaning, the second that you realize that according to Rabbi Ishmael, it's time or action, you have to negate Model 3 completely. Meaning, it is impossible that Rabbi Shmuel thinks this has anything to do with shtar. Right? Because people hold on to their shtar for a certain amount of time. Okay? You could have said it was 3 years. You could have said it was 1 year. I wouldn't know. But you cannot say that people hold on to their shtar either for 18 months or until they've harvested 3 times. That's not how things work. People hold on their shtar as long as they hold on to their shtar. That's a time question. The fact that Rabbi Shmuel says that chazaka could either be accomplished through the passage of time, or the performance of actions means that Model 3 is off the table for Rabbi Shmuel. It's off the table. He does not think that 3 years is here because of shtar, because shtar, how long you hold in their shtar, is dependent on time. Yes?
Well, I could argue that it's going to get work.
if you wanted to twist your... Yeah, you could say, people, hold on. You want to get into even more games. Yes, I understand. Correct. Right, I understand. You could create more of this game theory. If I hold on to my star as long as I think that someone else might protest, which is as long as it still feels like this is just mine, which either takes place after the passage of time. I understand. I could create like 10 steps of game theory, right? Of like, I think that you think that I think that you think that I think... Yeah, I understand. I think it's a stretch. Correct. I think it's a stretch. I think it's a stretch just because, let's be honest, how many people, is that how you deal with paperwork? Right? I think most people, it's like, I clear out some of my paperwork every Friday when I'm cleaning for Shabbos. And then every time I do spring cleaning and I'm cleaning for Pesach, you know, part of what I do is I throw out the paperwork. And at the end of a tax year, right, when I'm going through my papers, I clear out the excess paperwork, right? It's not like, right, like, it's time, right? Like, that's normally what happens, right? Documents, like, I hold on for a certain amount of time, and then, you know, it's very much, it's not, you know, it's not like, I think most people, right, they don't clear out, right, they don't, like, sit there and do a cheshbon. I hold on to my star as long as, right? It's possible, but I don't know. Right, it really sounds like the Gemara thinks that people hold on their shirt for 3 years, because of 3 years. I don't know, because of 3 years. And therefore, it seems to me much more likely the fact that Rabbi Shmuel thinks, again, I'm not negating it entirely, Gavi. I think if you were married to that position, I think you could defend it. But I think it's the least likely of the possibilities. I think the fact that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva suffice with either time or harvesting actions, I think we're left with two other models. And that is, going back to what we said before, right? Meaning, remember, we had two main models of Chazaka. One is that Chazaka is, as Adam said, created because I take ownership of the land. Within that model, does Rabbi Shmuel make a lot of sense? What do you think? Rabbi Shmuel is either 18 months or 3 harvests. Yes, why? Good, very good, Adam. Why? Good, and what about the time? And what about the time? Oh, well, so let's work it through. I think, Rabbi Shmuel, you could say, look, you could work it in the Muchzakut model, because you could say, look, what is a chazaka? It's, if I do enough, then this field becomes essentially mine. I become the controller. There's two ways that can happen. Right? How? Qualitative or quantitative expressions of ownership. What do I mean? Right? There are different ways that you show that something's yours. Okay? Let's say you have a book. Okay? One way that you show that it's yours is you write your name on it. Okay? Another way is I carry it around. Let's take a sitter, right? One way of expressing that it's mine is writing my name on it. Another way is it's the sitter that I use every day. It's in my chillin' bag. I just use it every day, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, right? If I use a sitter once, is that enough of an expression of ownership? No, like sometimes, whatever, I use the shul's sitter. Right? You use someone else's sitter, that's not crazy. But if I use it day in, day out, right, it's the one I keep in my drilling bag. So the very fact, even though, like, I never wrote my name on it, I never did anything that made it mine, the fact that it's, you know, day after day is what? What? Yeah, I understand. It's not a great example because, fine, it's the one you use, you leave it in the communal shelf, but you use it every morning, okay? Fine. So, in both of those, you would say, look, in one event, one way of showing that something is yours is doing a specific act that expresses control. That's a qualitative act of control, right? I write my name. Another is, look, sometimes I use my sitter, sometimes I use the shul sitter. But if I use the same sitter, Shacharis ben Chamarev, Shacharis ben Chamarev, Shacharis ben Chamarev, right, then that's also an expression of ownership. But it takes time, because I might use the shul sitter day in, day out for months, right? But there comes a point where you use it so much, you're wearing it down, right? You know, it's like it opens the pages you want because, you know, because you open it so much that you've worn out the binding in those pages, right? I don't know, right? You always review Parshat Mishpatim. So it opens, right, not to the normal pages, not the chakras, but to, right, the laning that you like to go over for whatever reason, right? That is also an expression that is yours. Rabbi Shmuel, one way of looking at him is saying, look, a chazakah is, Gavi, is creating a claim in it, is showing that this is mine. But there's two ways to do that. One is simply to let time pass under my control. Quantitatively, you can show something is yours. Or by doing a vivid act, which shows ownership. So Rabbi Shmuel says, look, you got two choices. 18 months pass. That's the quantitative way of showing that it's mine. Or making it mine, rather. Or harvest, right? Significant acts that show it's mine. So if you think that chazakah is the creation of ownership, is expressing ownership, you can easily understand why you might have two channels, two ways to accomplish that. One is through three acts of ownership, and the other is through three quantifiable passages of time, right? Meaning three seems to be the magic number for whatever reason, right? And Rabbi Shmuel says, look, three atomic units of time for him are three, not full years, but three parts of three agricultural years, right? And each agricultural year that passes in any percentage, or for him, in a quarter, that is enough to make it mine. I held it through three agricultural cycles. Alternatively, what about the evidentiary model? Within the evidentiary model, can you explain Rabbi Shmuel? What do you think? Does it make sense to have a dual possibility, Gavi, of how you create a chazaka within the evidentiary model? Because it does what? It provokes. Right, because it's provocative, remember? Right, it's that how long will Andrew stay silent to Rami taking his kiwis? Right, meaning according to the evidentiary model, what's important is how much provocation have I created and at what point have I provoked you so much that if you don't respond to the provocation, it proves that the field is mine. So how can I provoke you? Very good, right? Either by shoving it in your face three times or by never shoving in your face but just sitting there for a very long time, right? You can create provocation in different ways. We all know that, right? Sometimes we get angry. Right? Think about what gets you angry, right? Lahavdil. Sometimes you get angry because it's 2 a.m. and someone blasts their music when you're asleep, right? Then you jump out of bed and... right? Yell, shut off that music. Right? That's significant act. Then there's the other, which is, I want to go to sleep at 11, but my roommate always is still watching Netflix till 11:15. Okay. So one day, it's an extra 15 minutes. It's on relatively low. It's a little bit annoying, but whatever. Okay. So I request nicely after day one, you know, I really want to go to sleep at 11, it's annoying. He has, you know, he maybe for a day or two doesn't say anything. You know, he changes, then goes back, right? But after like a month of this, I'm like, look, I understand it's a small thing, but how long? How many times do I have to say, stop it, I need that extra 15 minutes of sleep, right? If it was 1 or 2 days, right, if you normally go to sleep at 11 and your roommate just said, listen, I'm in the middle of a movie, I'm going to finish it in 15 minutes, do you mind? You'd probably say no, whereas the same person, if he said, can I blast my music at 2 in the morning, even once you would say, no, that's too much, right? So provocation can either be created by significant acts that shove it in your face, or by a lot of little acts over the course of time. So if you want to follow the evidentiary model and you want to say chazakah is created because the fact that someone stayed silent is de facto evidence that it's really, right, that it's really theirs, sorry, it's really mine and not theirs, so then you can understand why you would have two possibilities, right? Either significant in-your-face actions, which right away should elicit a response of any, you know, breathing person, right? Or a lot of little provocation over the course of time. Right? Does that make sense? Right? In that sense, you could just say, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, at least when it comes to time, right, they fundamentally agree with the Chachamim and maybe with each other. They're just arguing quantitatively. The Chachamim say you need 3 years. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva say you need less time. Okay. But let's try the following, okay? But let's go back to the Chachamim. Now let's contrast Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva with the Chachamim. Now I will note, not everybody agrees with what I'm just about to say. Okay? Rami. Not everyone agrees with what I'm about to say. Rashi seems to think that there is no other position. There is no position that really means 3 years. How do I know? So look at Rashi in Stei Abal on the Mishnah. Rashi says, Stei Abal, Sebe Abal, Hamistapeg Megshamim, Eino Seperi El Pam Achat Bishana, Cheskata Shaloshanim, Ve'eino Tzricham Yom Liyom. 3 years never means 3 full years. Umahi Cheskata, Rishmolom Rishlosh Chadashim, etc. Meaning Rashi seems to think that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are coming to clarify what the words 3 years mean. Meaning there is no position who actually says you need a full 3 years. There's 3 years, quote-unquote, which either means 14 months or 18 months. Correct. In a stairball. Correct. And therefore it'll say 3 years because in some circumstances it means 3 years if you don't have 3 harvests or 3 whatever. But whenever you could have 3 harvests, then what we mean is 18 months or 14 months. The Rashba says no. The Rashba says what I started with, which is there really are 3 years. Now, this is really the pshat of the Gemara. Look, there definitely is the position of the Chachamim. The question is it in our Mishnah? Rashi thinks it's not in our Mishnah. But everyone agrees that there is a position who says 3 years mamish, the Chachamim. How do I know? Right, the Rashba says that that's already what the Mishnah means. But how do I know that there's at least one position out there floating around that thinks that chazakah is mamash 3 years? Because I'm daf lamed vav. Did you guys get to lamed vav yet? Okay, so on lamed vav, what does it say? I'm a rav, right? Rav says, zu divrei Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Rabbi Akiva. According to Rav, the position of the Chachamim is 3 full years, right? Like 3 calendar years, right? That's Rav's interpretation of the Chachamim. Shmuel said not that way, right? Shmuel has a different interpretation of the Chachamim. But for the moment, let's just acknowledge that there is the possibility in the Gemara that 3 years means 3 years. That's how Rav understood the Chachamim. It may be that no one really agrees to this. Okay? But that at least is a possibility in the Gemara. Okay? Before we continue with the concept, so let's look at Lamed Vav. Right? Let's start, now that we've seen just the Mishnah, let's start to spell it out on Daf Lamed Vav. And I don't know what fell on me from the sky. Okay. But let's go to Lamed Vav and let's plug it in. Okay? Fine. So Rabbi Shmuel Omar Shlosha Chadashim. So the Gemara says, first let's try to figure out the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Now why would you do that? Right? Why is the first thing that the Gemara wants to do is to figure out the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva? What do you think? What? A little louder, Ellie. Right, meaning if you assume like Rav, right, that Chachamim really means 3 years. So the difference between the Chachamim on one hand and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, that's a big difference, right? So we can talk about that. But Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Kiva is a little bit weird, right? Because neither of them require 3 full years. They seem to require a full year with a symbolic part of 2 other years, right? And that's really weird, because why? Because assuming that you think that, it's one thing to say one person holds 3 years and one person holds not 3 years, right? Holds symbolic 3 years. Because that you could say, look, that's a big difference. But why would you quibble on 14 versus 18 months? Because at the end of the day, you seem to neither of you need full 3 years. You seem to suffice with 1 full year and like a symbolic participation in 2 other agricultural years. So why would you say 1 month on each end or 3 months, right? Like, you know how, like, it's one of those things, ironically, when people argue a lot, you don't really ask what they're arguing about, right? Right? Like, if someone says, I don't believe in God, and someone says, I do believe in God, right? So you don't ask, what are they arguing about? You know what they're arguing about. You might say, why do you believe in God? Why don't you believe in God? Right? But you know what they're arguing about. Right? But then there's like the narcissism of small differences. Right? Where like, you see people vehemently fighting about a little thing, but from the outsider, you're like, it's not that I don't know why you're arguing. I don't even know what you're saying. Right? Like, right? You know, like, you ever get this feeling sometimes in, like, machlokot about whatever? It could be halacha, it could be politics, right? It's like, I think that Shabbos ends at 45 minutes after sunset. I think it's at 50. And you're like, really? I don't know what you're talking about. Like, okay, someone tells me 72. So I get that, you know, that different, you know, in Israel, 72 versus 35 that we hold, or whatever it is, or Tukachinsky, right? One is saying an objective time after Shkia, and one is saying when the sun has actually, when the stars come out, practically. Okay, but like, you know, 35 minutes, 37 minutes, right? Like you see on like the Zmanim things, right? You know, Shkia is either, you know, or, right, these things are like, and you're just like, I honestly don't even know what you're talking about anymore. Like it's so narrow that you seem to be saying the same thing and yet you're not, right? Or like politics, right? So some people will say, I want to raise taxes. And other people will say, no, I want to, right? I want to raise taxes on the rich because I want to give it to everybody else. And that, right? Okay? Naniach, a Republican, okay? And a Democrat says, no, sorry, a Democrat. And a Republican says, no, I want to lower taxes because it will trickle down. If you let rich people have more money to spend, it'll trickle down to the economy. Okay? So we can argue about theories of economics, but you at least know what they're arguing about. But if you saw two people in the House yelling and screaming about whether you should raise taxes by 1% or 1.1%, or lower taxes by 1% or 1.1%, right, I think everyone would sit around and say, you fundamentally have the same conception of, so why are you even arguing? Like, what is it that drives the 1%? So that's what the Gemara is doing here. The Gemara is saying, okay, look, if you hold 3 years, so versus not 3 years, versus, you know, 18 months, versus 14 months, I understand, right? Those are representing different models, which we'll talk about what they are. But, like, once you say that you need 1 year with a symbolic part of two other agricultural years, why would you say 14 months versus 18 months? Like, that seems so close. You're both positing that it's 1 year in the middle with a part of two other agricultural years. Like, use whatever the conceptual model you're working with, it seems to be the same model. So once you're working with the same model, then what are you quibbling about? You understand why the Gemara seems to be bothered by this? Right? Does that make sense? Right? That when people are arguing from one extreme to the other, you don't ask, what are they arguing about? You ask, why do they hold what they hold? But when they seem to be arguing for basically the same position, and yet they have a quantitative difference, right, you want to figure out, is there a rhyme or reason, or is this just like your gut? Right? Like, is it your gut? Is it, oh, you want to raise taxes, and the question is, how much can people handle? You think they can handle 1%, or you think they can handle 1.1%? It could just be that it's your gut, right? I don't have a good reason for it, but... But that seems to be what the Gemara is trying to do, is they seem to be saying the same thing, so why are they not saying the same thing? So what is the Gemara answer? Right? So the Gemara comes up with an actual answer. What's the Gemara's answer? You said you started Lamed Vav, so what does it say? Lema near Ike Benayu. What does it suggest that the difference is? Near. What's near? Plowing. Meaning what? Rabbi Shmuel Savar near Lo Ave Chazaka. Rabbi Kiva Savar near Ave Chazaka. The difference is as follows. They both agree that either to qualify as the passage of time, or as a provocative act, right, you need it to take place in three agricultural years, right? But the question is as follows. It takes, in the minimum number of months, according to the Gemara, that it takes in a given agricultural year to actually get fruits, to harvest fruit, is how long? 3 months. What do you manage to pull off in 1 month of an agricultural year, according to the Gemara? You plow. So the Gemara says as follows. The machloket is whether plowing counts. Stop there for a minute. Why? What type of machloket is that? Why would you say plowing does? Why would you say plowing doesn't count? What does that even mean? What are they arguing about? What? Okay, good. So, continue, yeah. Oh, okay, so, oh, good. So Ellie's already on the right track. So Ellie says, okay, let's take the second thing Ellie said. Let's say that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva are arguing on the evidentiary plane about what constitutes a provocation, right? So, why might you argue about these? Right, let's say that they both thought that Chazaka was about evidence created by provocation or unresponded to provocation. So why would you say plowing is enough? Why would you say it's not enough? Good. So it could be that on the one hand you'd say maybe the reason that Rabbi Shmuel thinks Rabbi Akiva thinks plowing is enough is because if Andrew sees Rami plowing his land, that's an expression of ownership. And if I don't respond to it, right, that would be weird. Right? On the other hand, you might say... Very good. Is that plowing may be an act of ownership, but in the end of the day, you're not taking anything from me. You're just improving my land. So maybe on the level of provocation, what they're arguing about is, will I be provoked simply because you're doing something which is an act of ownership over my land? Or would we assume that people would be silent because in the end of the day, you didn't take anything from me. You helped me. I mean, yeah, it looks like you're claiming my land, but like in the end of the day, you helped me. So Rabbi Akiva says, look, as soon as someone expresses ownership, I'm going to yell at them. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, I'm only going to yell at them if they express ownership in a way that works against me. Right? They take my stuff. But plowing? They're helping me, so maybe that's why I'm silent. That's within the evidentiary model. What about within the Muchzakut model, Adam? What if I say it's about expressing ownership? What might they be arguing about? Why would it be or why wouldn't it be? So good. Within Machzakut, I think you could do the same thing. You could say, on the one hand, maybe this gives me ownership in the land because, hey, I'm working it, right? How much, right? It's my land. I'm proud. I'm working it, right? Sweating out there in the sun, showing I'm a manly man. I don't know, like, whatever. It's like the way the early Zionists talk about how they were so proud that they made the, right, that they were conquering the swamps and turning them into farmland, right? Oh, that's ownership. And Rabbi Shmuel might say, yeah, please, until you get results, right? Meaning they could be arguing about what makes something yours, the fact that I work on it or the fact that I get results from it, right? Plowing is me putting something into the land. But maybe it's not really yours until, look, this is really mine. This is my apple. Look, this is the product of my labor. Now, right, now it's mine. Those are two different conceptual models, right? That I own it because I put into the land, or do I own it because I benefited, I took out, I succeeded, right? Those are different acts. And you could argue, is your ownership created by simply investing in the land, or does it wait until, right, the product of your labor is actualized, right? Or you could say that at some level they're arguing across planes, right? Right? Meaning you could say, look, maybe it's an expression of ownership if I work the land, but it won't create provocation and prove that it's mine until I take from the land. Why? Because if you think about Muchzakut, so maybe you'll say, look, I work the land. That's right? That is an expression of ownership. But it still might not elicit a provocative response because, as Ellie said, maybe Andrew is happy for someone else to plow his land. So maybe Rabbi Akiva says, maybe Rabbi Akiva will say, merely plowing is a chazaka because it's an act of ownership. It's muchzakut. But Rabbi Shmuel will say, no, chazaka is about evidence. It's not evidence that Andrew kept silent until Rami takes his kiwis. He doesn't care if he makes his field a good field. I don't care. Go ahead. Plow my field, prune my field, weed my field, do whatever you want. But take my kiwis? No, it's mine, right? And if I let you take my kiwis, then it must be yours, right? So it could be they're even arguing across paradigms, right? So the same paradigms we set up, I think the last one is a little bit less likely, right? But I think that this is forcing you to get deeper into the question of what exactly do we mean by the creation of provocation? What exactly is it that creates provocation? Is it the fact that someone's expressing ownership, in which case plowing might be enough? Or is it the fact that someone is taking something from me, in which case it has to wait till harvest? Or the same in Muchzakut. What is called an expression of ownership? Is it merely working and contributing and investing energy? Is that enough to make this mine? Or do I have to reap the fruits of my labor before it's mine, right? So we're digging even deeper into what exactly is it about this chazaka that accomplishes whatever you think it accomplishes. So if you just look at the Gemara, right? So the Gemara says, But then the Gemara challenges it. This is where I guess I'll leave you. Well, no, let's read a few more lines. The Gemara says, V'tizbera, does that make sense? The Rabbi Akiva, my area chodesh. Once you say that it's about plowing, so then what's the problem? It's not about time at all. Right? Once you say it's about plowing, because merely investing in it is either enough to make it mine or to elicit provocation, then why does he hold you even need a month? What he should say is, plow, let a year pass, and plow again, so that you plowed in 3 years. Why month? Just say, I plowed in 3 different agricultural years, so I need a year and 2 days. That's all I need. What is this month? If it's about either the provocation created by plowing or the ownership expressed by plowing, so why do I need a month? Yom Echad Nami. 1 day should accomplish that because it's about the act and not the time. Right? Everything you've just said focused on the act. So then why do you need the month in conjunction with the act? So Ella Dechulei Alma, Nir Lo Avei Chazaka. You're right. I reject it. Plowing is not a chazaka according to anybody. V'hacha pera rabba pera zutei kebenaya. What's the Gemara saying? Remember I said, the Gemara, it's not impossible that the two people arguing about tax law, right, are arguing simply about, have really strong feelings about whether people can handle versus a 1.1% tax raise. It's not impossible. Maybe people have strong feelings about the weirdest of things, right? But that's not like my initial inclination, right? But if I then went over to those politicians and they said, no, that's exactly what it is, because we both agree that taxes should be raised, we just have very strong opinions about whether people can handle the extra 1%, 0.1%. So I will look at them and say, you're crazy, I don't understand you, but if that's what you are arguing about, then that's what you're arguing about, there's nothing I can do about it, right? As I read it, that's basically what the Gemara gives up on. The Gemara says, aha! Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, 14 months versus 18 months, that must show something fundamental. Yes, plowing versus the reaping of produce. Because otherwise, why would you argue on such short quantities? And then the Gemara says, yeah, but it doesn't work out so well. Because if it was really about plowing, it should be about 1 day, not a month. It's like 1 month, 3 months. Really sounds like it's about produce. So the Gemara says, fine. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are basically identical. What do you want from my life? They both think that chazaka is created when you reap fruits. 1 month versus 3 months, meaning 1 plus 12 plus 1 versus 3 plus 12 plus 1. Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel thinks that it takes big fruit, and it takes 3 months for big fruit to grow. And Rabbi Akiva will suffice with small fruit. You know, like the really ripe fruit or the beginning of the fruit. And now you'll tell me, are they arguing fundamentally? My guess is that once the Gemara starts using quantitative language, it's using quantitative language because it means it. It's saying, look, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva conceptually are basically saying the same thing. What are they saying? I don't know. They're either saying that the provocation is created after a certain amount of time, or that I get ownership after 3 harvests over a course of time, right? It makes me owner. Why 3, 12, and 3 versus 1, 12, and 1? I don't know, because Rabbi Shmuel thinks you need the full ripened fruit to get that level of provocation or that level of ownership. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, I don't, even the less ripened fruit. At that point, my guess is to say this is really the Gemara giving in and saying this is the two members of Congress screaming and yelling at each other about whether they should raise taxes 1% or 1.1%. You look at them and you say, aren't you basically saying the same thing? And the answer is, yes. So then why are you arguing? Because I have an intuition they can handle 1%, and you have an intuition they can handle 1.1%, and I really hold this, and you really hold that. But we're basically saying the same thing, but we're really passionate about quantity. Because we really disagree on the exact parameters. To me, that seems to be what the Gemara is throwing up its hands in the air and doing at the beginning of Lamed Vav Amud Bet, which is, yeah, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva basically hold the same thing, but Rabbi Shmuel thinks whatever chazaka is accomplished with big fruit, and Rabbi Akiva with small fruit. Why? I don't know, but that's what they really, really, really strongly felt, right? What? Yeah, no, there's definitely that, but you know, now, it could also, you look at Rashi, or Rashbam, he says it's not just big versus small, it's like the quality of fruit, right? And then, you know, you could have a machloket, you could say, look, after 1 month, it's lesser quality fruit. So maybe eating lesser quality fruit, as Adam says, is less of an expression of ownership. Ownership is only when I eat the full thing, right? And Rabbi Akiva says, no, if I eat any fruit, in the end of the day, this small fruit, which is unripened, is going to be a high-quality fruit in a few months. The fact that I ate it now shows that it's mine, right? The fact that I'm allowed to eat it before it reaches, I can prevent it from reaching ripening by eating it now, that shows it's mine, right? Or within proof, Andrew could look at Rami and say, oh, he took my full, beautiful kiwis. Oh, that really makes me angry. Oh, he took, like, a ripening kiwi. Who cares? Right? Or you could say, no. Andrew sees into the future that ripening kiwi will, in 2 months from now, be a full kiwi. And therefore, he will get angry as soon as someone eats it. Right? So you could hear why someone would say that. Right? But again, at some point, you're quibbling. Right? About what seems to be fundamentally the same model. You're just arguing within the models. Right? And I think that's what the Gemara is saying in the end, is that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva really do have the same model. They have different assumptions about what will create provocation or what expresses ownership. But they are saying, they are within the same model. That's why they are so close. Right? They just have intuition, different intuitions about Peraba Perazuta. Right? But fundamentally they're similar. Right? That's what I think what the Gemara is saying. Okay, so tomorrow, I guess, we'll continue to flesh this out, contrasting them, right, with the Chachamim, with the three-year position. Yeah. Okay, tomorrow we'll try to finish fleshing it out. And again, just remember that the question we're asking is, obviously, we have to keep going back to the question of what is the role of chazaka. But we're asking more than that, right? Or less than, more or less, I don't know how you want to look at it. But this sugya is not just about what is chazaka in general, it's what does every component of the chazaka accomplish, right? What does the passage of time accomplish? What does the eating or harvesting accomplish? Because even within the models, you have to be very precise about what each factor accomplishes so that you know what it depends on. Okay? So that's where we're holding. We'll continue that tomorrow, okay?